Welcome to A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app. Now, this free app you can download on any electronic device, just like your regular apps, Amazon and Wish and all those other ones, and it will remain on your device. When you download that app, just search WWGH, and whenever you want to hear a good talk show, just hit on there, and you will have all different kind of talk shows to take advantage of. You can also call in while I am on the air live by calling 740-383-9944. This is the 96th day of the year 2021. There remains 269 days in this year. So those of you who have made these New Year's resolutions and they have not come to fruition as of yet, get up off your lazy tuff, make your list, do your vision board, do some research, get up, get to moving, get to walking, get to running, change that diet, whatever you said that you were going to do. It's still not too late. As we have said, there are 269 days remaining in the year 2021. Isn't that good news? I think so. It gives us plenty of time. Lord bless and say the same. I need to share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, which is 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have free produce April the 17th, 12 noon until 2 p.m. If you need free produce or know of someone else who can take advantage of this opportunity, please mark your calendars. The date, once again, is April the 17th from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Location, Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street. And we have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. The owner, Cheryl Lee, location, LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. Thank you for your support, all those that I have mentioned. And those of you who listen faithfully, thank you so very, very much for your dedication and supporting me during this time that I have been on the air live, celebrating 7 years this June. My headphones are falling off my ears. Isn't that terrible? Okay, sorry about that. I need my phone for a thought for today because I like to open up my show with that. That's why my phone is still on. I guess I could have turned it down, and I'm asking you to forgive me for that. I do have an announcement here. Choosing God's Best Singles Conference, Men and Women Welcome, Saturday, April the 17th, 2021, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Register at mytgp.org/singles. The cost is $15. Lunch is provided. The location is 1300 Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, Ohio. Time of worship. These are sequence of events. Guest speakers, panel of men, panel of women, and breakout sessions. It seems to be really thought out well. You should be able to get good and informed, important information, whether you are looking for a mate, waiting for a mate, or just recently maybe had a breakup, you know, Maybe you're not even sure you want a mate, but if you would come, maybe you can find out something that could help you in your search. Like I aforementioned, I like to start my show with a thought for today. This thought is titled, Unity is Harmony. Okay? Unity is when people come together as one. And I'm sure I don't have to explain that to everyone, but sometimes, you know, if your mind works like mine, sometimes I can't think of it at the moment. Oh, yeah, unity, one person or a group of people coming together of one thought, one theme, you know, having the same mind, the same ambition, you know, and that's kind of hard to find. And, you know, this is also even in relationships. Unity is harmony within and amongst people. Harmony, the combination of simultaneously sounded musical notes to produce chords and chord progressions, having a pleasing effect. An arrangement of the four gospels or of any parallel narratives which present a single continuous narrative text. Okay, spoken or written event account or connected events. A story. That's the definition for narrative, okay? All right. Okay. Harmony and united. Well, we just explained that. So let me finish the thought, okay? It is built with a shared vision for the good of all and a common goal. Unity is appreciating the value of each person and their unique contribution. When there is willingness to accommodate others, unity blossoms. Now, you know, we have been, I've really been giving out some good thoughts for today. And yesterday's thought was titled, Attitude of Gratitude. Because, you know, we also have to be thankful. And being thankful helps us to, prep our minds to being in unity or the thought of being in unity with someone. You know, once we take care of our thoughts and our actions and become responsible for them, you know, and look at ourselves and find out what we need to do to better ourselves. You know, people say, well, we got enough self-help and seem like people are always trying to make themselves better. Well, you know, in a world that we live in today, we need to really look at that in a positive view, not really negative. Because if I'm in a downward slope of life, and if I don't be around people a lot, or there's no one really to help uplift me, and I'm not on the gospels or looking forward to people, talking to people and sharing my story with them, you know, and that's more easily said than done. Telling someone your testimony, telling someone why you are down. So I think that it's just so very, very important that we do these things, not just for ourselves, but for other people. It is so important that we come and unite as a people. I mean, this can be groups of people, people in the church. This can be integrated, all different cultures coming together as one. Because, you know, it seems to be so much hate. Well, I don't like them. They're Chinese. I don't really care for them. They're African American or they're black, you know, or the Hispanics, or, you know, there seems to be a problem with people. But we are all people. We all came here the same way. We all will live the same way. Leave here the same way is what I'm saying. And we all live just about the same. Some of us may have more money than others, but we still have to eat. We still have to go to the bathroom. We still have to comb our hair, brush our teeth, take a shower. We all have to buy new clothes, new shoes. Okay? We're the same. We are the same, just different colors, like a bouquet of flowers. Don't you just love flowers? And this is springtime, and I know flowers are beautiful. I bought my first Easter lily last week, and it was so beautiful. It just bloomed, and it was so beautiful. So there is just so many things to look forward to during this spring, coming summer. Yes, we've been in the age of COVID, but things are lifting. we find some ease during this time right now, because after all, we've been in the age of COVID as of a year, February. So we're in April now, and that's just an excellent thing. It's a good thing that we're moving along. People are getting their vaccines, and maybe we can come together and into unity a little more than we have been allowed to do, because we have not been allowed to do that. And we can have an attitude of gratitude. We can be thankful that God has blessed us with another day. Isn't that beautiful? That He loves you so much and He has blessed you with another day. And He has provided everything that you need for this day, isn't it? I would like to give out a shout to the Lomax family. Kenneth Lomax passed, I think it was Saturday. And he was a longtime friend of mine. I really met him at Whirlpool in the 70s, and we worked together. And, you know, people go their way during the course of life. And he had came back to Marion about 7 years ago, and we became friends. And, you know, I really cared for Kenny, and I'm sorry that he's gone. And I give his family my condolences from myself and from my family. Our prayers, our thoughts are with you. Don't be shy about asking or people. I'm just saying this for those of you who may be listening and you may know the Lomax family, that you would reach out and touch them. Give them words of comfort during this time, because, you know, one day we're going to need that. You know, we just never know when, or we never know how. But I'm sure they're going to miss their brother. His children will miss their father, and his grandchildren will miss their grandfather. So I just wanted to give that shout out. He's been a member of our community. I think he was a graduate from Harding High School. So that's that. Just remember the Lomax family in prayer. In prayer, or however you want to reach out to that family. Just thank you, everyone, for all that you do for A Voice of a People in our community. Your support, it is much appreciated and much, much needed, even the more. So thank you once again, and don't forget the Singles Conference, and don't forget Unity in Harmony. Now, my guest today is Don Woodard. He is the pastor of Beacon Baptist Church of Salem, Virginia. Now, he was also, that's him calling right now. All righty. Hello.
Hello, is this Miss Linda?
Yes, it is. Don, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay, well, I'm really honored to be with you again like this. So, about how long do we go on this?
Till 5 p.m.
Okay, so about 30. Okay, good. And you have breaks in there?
No.
Okay. Oh, wow.
It's
okay.
Only
I'm just going to follow your lead, okay? And if I talk too much, just tell me or change the subject.
That's a whole point of the show, is talking, right? This is a talk show.
That's right, yeah. Okay, well, sometimes I talk too much, but yeah, okay.
That's okay. How have you been, Don?
Well, I'm better now. I was really sick in February. At first, I thought I had the virus, but it wasn't that. It was some kind of a flu thing, but I was wiped out. It knocked me out, but doing great now. We're busy.
Well, We thank God that He has brought you through whatever what's going on with you, you know, your health. Because
yeah.
A lot of people have passed from the COVID, you know. And what did you think about the COVID? We've been in it like a little over a year now.
Yeah, I think it's a very serious thing. I do think it was manufactured. I think it was done on purpose. I think it's been politicized, that the politicians on every side used it a little too much, and I think we should focus on healing and getting back to living again.
Yes, 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 yes. And I think they're trying to do that little by little. At least it feels like we're coming back around to having a little more freedom, huh?
A little bit. I see a lot of efforts to control the American people. I don't like that.
Well, I don't think that's nothing new.
It's here. Exactly.
Just a different cause, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So how are you and your family doing?
Good. We're great. We're doing good. We had a great Easter. We had, everybody with us. My oldest daughter is on her way home from Honduras. They went to Honduras for a vacation, so they weren't here for Easter, but everybody else was. We're all doing really good. We're very, very, very blessed and very, very, very thankful.
Well, that's beautiful. I was just introducing you as you were calling in as the pastor at Beacon Baptist Church of Salem, Virginia. And Wendy Thornton, a friend that we had in common,
yes,
introduced me to you. And
yes,
we have lost her.
Yes. That was heartbreaking. She came to see me in June of 2018 when I was there in Marion doing a book signing.
Mm-hmm.
And she hung out with us for way over an hour. We had a great time. A lot of people came by, but yeah, that really, my wife and her just automatically kind of clicked, and they talked quite a bit that day, but that was just really, really heartbreaking. I guess from what I understand, it was unexpected.
Oh yes, it was. Because I was just at her house, I think, the week before for her birthday thing, yep. Around Valentine's Day, yep. I sure was. We took a picture, and I posted that on Facebook in February. But, yes, it was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
all the health stuff that she dealt with, you know, she was full of life. I mean, she just... It was amazing. She just wanted to help people, and she was going around there that day, you know, she spent with us and praying with people and talking to people and stuff.
Right.
She was amazing.
She had that bubbly personality. Everyone doesn't have that.
Yeah, she had it. Yeah, she had it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And also, you know Chris Sims, my cousin.
I know Chris Sims very well. I love Chris Sims. Chris Sims grew up, we lived on, there was an alley between us. I grew up on North Main Street, and I grew up behind Chris, and Chris grew up behind me, I guess you'd say. He lived on North State, I lived on North Main, and our yards would have touched if it wasn't for the alley.
Okay.
And we used to, Chris always loved to sing, and he was always singing, and we were kids. I've known Chris since I was 5 years old.
Wow.
We used to run around together, and he's actually a year older than me. And I tell him that, you know, because I don't see him that often, but he looks much younger than I do, but he's actually a year older than me. I'll be nice, but anyway, I love Chris. Chris has a good heart.
Yes, he does.
Just always helping people. And last time I saw Chris, I was in Marion there. I was there at the old neighborhood, and he was out mowing his neighbor's, well, it's actually his mother. I know his mother passed recently.
Yes,
she was
yeah.
a saint, that woman. I love that woman.
Mm-hmm.
But he was mowing one of the neighbor's yards, and I said, what are you doing, man? I just snuck up behind me. He didn't, oh, wow, you know, like we hadn't seen each other in a long time. He said, you know, I'm just trying to help him out here. He said, this guy's not able to mow his yard, so I just mowing his yard. Like, you know, and the guy didn't even know who was doing it, I'm sure. Just Chris was helping. That's the way he does.
It's nice to have those type of neighbors, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a great guy. And a lot of good memories there. Yeah, I loved his mom and dad. They were great people. His mother was a jewel. She was a sweet, sweet lady. Loved the Lord. That lady loved God.
Oh, yes, she did. She said she asked him for 100 years, and that's exactly what he gave her.
Yeah, she sure did. Yeah, she got her century. Yeah, she was amazing.
So, tell me, were you among some of the other pastors who had to close their church during the COVID?
Well, when it first came out, we were all concerned. In the Commonwealth of Virginia, we were encouraged to not have public services. Well, we didn't know what we were dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, no one knew at first, and so we did. We went online. We had services on Facebook and all that kind of thing. Yeah, but we did not have public services, and at first we had a team of people that would come to the church, and that's what we did on Sunday mornings. And then we were getting, different reports and information and stuff, and so we went ahead and opened back up, and we told people, come to church if you're comfortable doing that. And we had signs up, I'm a hugger. But don't be hugging, don't be, just wear your mask and spread out, and that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And we still have, and I completely understand it, I've told, told our folks that, older folks that have health challenges and health concerns, they have not been to church in quite a while. We communicate with them, and they're able to join us on social media and all. And I have one man in my church, he's 95, he's here every Sunday morning, he's in better shape than I'm in, and I said something to him, I said, you're with this virus and stuff, I said, if you don't come to church, nobody's going to be mad at you, it's okay, we understand, a lot of older folks are not coming, and he just looked at me and he said, I was at Normandy, I said, yes, sir, he said, this is nothing, he said, compared to Normandy, this doesn't scare me at all. But he's here every Sunday morning. But then they came out. They never. I don't think Virginia ever said you can't. I think there was a time where it was just a wise thing to do. Mm-hmm. But then they did come out and say they were considering the state. Now, Virginia is a Commonwealth, and Chris and I. We skipped school that day, so neither one of us know the difference between state and Commonwealth, probably. But anyway, they came out and said that, I forget, well, this was like last summer, they came out and said that they were going to probably restrict churches from having public services, mm-hmm. completely shut them down. And so I went and talked to the police department, and I said, I won't do that. I said, I just want you to know I won't do that. Mm-hmm. I said, I get my orders from higher up in the state, so I won't shut down. I said, I will tell people if they don't feel comfortable, that's up to them, that's their decision, but I won't close the church down. Mm-hmm. And they just basically told me that they wouldn't enforce something like that. So I said, thank you. And so we just, I said, good, so we don't have a problem. Anyway, I wouldn't close down, not, if it was definite where if you got within a foot of someone, you could get something and you're going to die, then yeah, okay, well, we got to be, everybody needs to just go home. But it wasn't like that. So we weren't going to close down. We weren't going to do that.
Well, I guess it was like that for some people.
Yeah, it was. We lost people. We had some funerals. We did.
Yeah, it was like that for some people, it was just one of those things that we're not used to doing, and we don't know if we should do it, but God is good, he knows our heart, and he knew exactly what was going on. It did not surprise him at all.
Absolutely. I knew an old preacher used to say, has it occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God?
And if we think that, we're sadly mistaken, right?
That's right. You're right, though. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows what's going to happen, and way before it happens, and that's why they call it faith. We just have to trust him. And I like the word trust, because trust is faith on a personal level. I trust him because I know him. I can trust him.
Right.
I like that thought. It helps me.
So I think I remember reading about you going on a really very important, I think it was a missionary trip last year. Could you tell us something about that?
Me going on a mission trip?
I thought you did. I thought you went cross country, across the United States to check on some youth, some young people.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, I went to Arizona. I went out to Arizona. I was asked to come out there and speak with a young person, 12 years old, that had been terribly abused and traumatized, and was having a lot of behavioral problems, and it's a real bad situation, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I went out there and I spent 3 days and met with the young person and family members and people affiliated with two churches that had connections to the family, and we just tried to help a little bit and encourage them. And it's I would not even say publicly some of the things that this young person has experienced in their young life, and it's just horrible things that were done to this young person. And so there's just a lot there, and it was an interesting experience in that I learned something I think is very valuable. But sometimes we learn something, we think, well, I know that,
right,
but we don't realize the impact of it. And what I learned was that when it comes to young people, and I think this is a problem in our country and families, is that we have to be responsible for our young people. And the Bible says, "And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." And I studied out the word father there, and what it means, the way the word is used there, it's not talking about the male parent. That's not the meaning. The deepest meaning of the word father, as it's used in that verse in Ephesians 6:4, it has to do with a responsible adult being responsible in caring for the needs of a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says, don't provoke them to wrath, and that has the idea of don't make them become bitter. Don't do things or allow things to be done to them that will make them bitter.
Right.
And the thing I saw was, at this point, you know, I know that there's been trauma, but there still has to be, okay, you have a future, and we have to focus on that. We can't change the past, but we have to have structure in your life, and we have to put guidelines here for you to follow so you don't get hurt again, so you don't get into trouble. And what bothered me was I just didn't see a lot of people willing to take responsibility to say the one word that young people sometimes need to hear that none of us like to hear, and that's the word no.
Right.
No, you cannot do that. We can't let you keep hurting yourself. We can't let you be angry and lash out at everybody. We want to help you deal with these issues that you have in your heart, and we want to help you deal with those in beginning in with your relationship with God. But I'm convinced that young people who've been abused, anybody that's been abused, especially if they were abused by the dominant male in their life, they have a distorted perspective of God and what God is like.
I'm
and
sure.
So they kind of have to, and if you've been wounded by a relationship, the best way to approach healing is through a relationship,
mm-hmm.
through a healing relationship. And sometimes you can't be that healing relationship if you let that person do whatever they want, where that they're hurting themselves or they're getting in trouble. You have to say, I care enough about you to tell you no, and I care enough about you to stand in your way and stand between you and danger and stand between you and letting yourself get in trouble or letting yourself get hurt again.
Right.
I'm going to stand here, and you can hate me, you can yell at me, you can spit on me, you can do whatever you want, but I'm going to stand here and I'm not going to let you go down a road that is going to bring you to further destruction. And I guess when I went out there and I spent 3 days, I saw more than ever the importance of us taking responsibility for young people. And you can't do anything for them. You can't let them have everything they want. You know, like you just talking about Chris Sims. You know, Chris's mom and dad, especially maybe his mom more so. You know, and Chris's dad was pretty laid back, but he still made Chris. You know, we had to toe the line. I knew I was over at the Sims house. I had to behave. You know? They weren't gonna, and that's just the way it was then. And now you just can't. Even if a child has been hurt, you there still has to be that we care about you, we love you, and we can't let you hurt yourself again. We can't. Well, he didn't hurt himself. He was hurt, but we can't let you use that now to make all these bad decisions.
Right. Can't continue to be an excuse for you. You have to teach.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't make. You can't let
be accountable for his own actions. Yeah.
Completely destroying your life. Yeah. But it was heartbreaking. It was quite a situation. I'm still in contact, but sometimes it's hard when there's a lot there and not everybody. When the people that need to be responsible aren't being responsible, it makes it pretty difficult. It's kind of like, here's the medicine to make you well, but I can't make you take it. You know?
Right, right. It's difficult. Some people give you a pill and walk away. And then
you're in
the same spot, same position.
Some people think the pill is the cure, but the pill is not. You can't medicate away anger. You have to deal with the anger.
Yes, yes. You're right. And I know there's a lot of people angry. Young, middle age, old. I mean, we're just living in that day. And how do you perceive the day that we're living in right now?
Well, when you mentioned about a lot of people being angry, there's something I've been studying on. I'm considering taking on a project, but I've been working with teenagers, which I don't directly work with them like I used to, but for about 35 years I've worked with young people, and I think this is, like you said, it's a very angry generation, and I think one of the root causes of the anger is the family has fallen apart. You know, going back to what the scripture says, and your fathers provoke not your children to wrath. Well, we have a lot of, there's 18 million children in America that do not have their father in their life.
That is so sad.
There are 13 million children being raised by their grandparents. 2.5 million grandparents are raising their grandchildren. And that's a growing problem because of the opioids and the drug problem and so forth. So they're angry, and in my opinion, I'm not an expert in anything, but in my opinion, as over the years I've talked to young people, we've taught them to devalue life, instead of teaching them to value life, we tell them one thing, but we show them something different.
True, so true about that.
And we have to show them that life has value.
Right.
And they've been told that, you know, we all used to be monkeys and we swung from trees.
Oh, God.
And so that removes the whole, you know, we just celebrated the Easter, the resurrection of Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, the idea that we come from, you know, we evolved from something, it takes away the whole need. Why would we need a savior? Why would we need that? And so there's no value, you know, and what would be the purpose? But when the truth from scripture that God created us in his image and his likeness, and he created us for the purpose of a relationship with us. He created us so he could have someone to love. So now I have a purpose. I exist because God wants to love me. God does love me.
Yes, he does.
So now I have a purpose. But I think we have a generation of young people that don't know where they came from. They don't know why they're here, and they don't know where they're going.
Right. They just kind of checked out. You were talking about the opioid. They're just checked out.
Yeah, and I think that it's not too late. I think
no.
I don't think it's ever too late, but we need to be responsible for them, and we need to help them see that their life matters.
Amen.
And their life has great value. And the only thing I know to do that is just to try to love them, as best we can, the way God loves us, and that's unconditionally.
Amen.
Unconditional love.
Amen. And God bless you for going out there with that young man. I mean, that was a long way to go for just one person, but you know, God died for just one of us, right?
That's it. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was beautiful. So, you have any other excursions lined up for 2021?
Well, I'll be in Marion. Okay. I'll be there. Not this weekend, but next weekend, April the 18th. We get there Friday, and April the 18th on Sunday morning, I'll be speaking at the Heritage Baptist Church in Galleon at 11 o'clock. Sunday night, I'll be in Marion at Emmanuel Baptist Church at 6 o'clock. And then I'm very excited. The end of May, we are bringing in, we have an orphanage in Haiti we've had for 20 years.
Really?
I helped start it 20 years ago. And the Haitian pastor there that oversees that, we're flying him in. He flies into Roanoke out of Haiti on April the 20th. He will be with me in Marion on May the 25th.
Wow.
And he'll be at Emmanuel Baptist Church on the 25th, and he'll be at Calvary Bible Baptist Church on the 25th, and I'll be with him. And then Sunday night, we're going to be back over in Galleon with him. Some of those churches support our work there and help us take care of orphans that we feed and clothe. And anyway, that's, I'm excited about it. It's going to be a great, great month. It's going to be a little over a month. So we're going to be in a lot of places, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, of course, Ohio. So that's, I'm excited about that.
Great.
That's going to be good.
It sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So how many children and grandchildren do you have?
Well, we have five children, and I always tell people we had five because we didn't want six. And we have 11 grandchildren. We have 10 here and one in heaven.
Wow.
And we're very blessed.
Yes, you
and,
are.
It's wonderful being a grandparent.
It is,
and
isn't it?
You fill them up with sugar and send them home. It all is well.
Amen. It seems better being a parent. A lot of you're not under so much stress.
Yeah. It's a whole different thing. Yeah. One time, my little grandson, he's 12 now, and he was our first grandchild. So I called him the man-child grandchild, and I spoiled him just something terrible. And I had him one evening or one day. I kept him for days, like 3 years old. And my daughter told me, she said, "Now, Dad, you know, don't give him sugar real late because he just doesn't do well with that." I said, "Okay." So she was going to pick him up about 8 o'clock. So about 7 o'clock, I fed him a little bowl of ice cream. And so I take him to her and all that. And so she calls me at 1 o'clock in the morning. And she said, "Did Dad," she said, of course, at first I thought something was wrong. She said, "Dad, did you feed Jason some sugar?" I said, no. I said, "You told me not to." I said, "All I did was about 7 o'clock, I gave a little bit of ice cream." She said, "Ice cream?" She said, "That's got sugar in it." I said, "Oh, okay."
She said,
"He's climbing the walls." She said, "You want to come and get him?" I said, "No, but did not."
I bet she said, "Dad."
Yeah, well, later on, her and my wife both kind of, I got a good,
laughing out
about that, yeah. But, it was fun. We had fun.
I was looking at my great-grandbaby. Her name is Layla. She'll be three. Four. I think she'll be four. Time goes so fast. Or three in July. And she had two Easter baskets. And she was like a ping pong ball bouncing off the walls, you know, half the day. And I'm like, oh my gosh. She was just into it, doing herself, you know, because she couldn't even control all that sugar, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the days. Yeah, it's beautiful days. And you have a lovely family. I looked at your picture. I thought, oh, so beautiful. And big, large family.
That picture is probably about 3 years old, I think. I don't think that picture has all. I know it doesn't. It doesn't have all the grandkids in it. Yeah, we got more. Yeah,
more.
I think within a year we may have another one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how old is your oldest child?
She just turned. I'm not allowed to say this, but she's on the way back from Honduras, so she won't hear me. She turned 40 this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she would turn 40 in February.
And how old is your youngest?
He is, now I've got to think a minute, he would be 32. Yeah, I think he turned 32 in January.
Okay.
Yeah, and his birthday's January 10th, and he was born in 1988. He turned 33, I guess, in January.
Okay.
He's 32 or 33.
Right. Well, 8 years is that's not too bad difference from the oldest to the youngest. That's not too bad.
Yeah. We had them, I think, like within 8 years, we had all of them.
Okay. Not bad.
Not bad, yep. I thought this is good. And we had them all young, and they grew up and they moved away, they didn't move away, but they moved out.
Right.
But of course, we always, you know, they can always move back if they need to.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all doing well. We're very thankful that they all work hard. They all are. Three of my kids have their own businesses. Two of them have their own business like full time.
Okay.
And then one of them has like works a job that has a part time business. And so they're entrepreneurs.
That's great.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I do too. That's great. You'll have to definitely send me part of your itinerary on Facebook or on Messenger. I might be able to meet up with you. Schedules are so packed. Oh my gosh, I have 2 meetings a day. I've already been to one, and have another one at 5:30 as soon as I get home from the radio. So it's like busy Tuesday, so you never know how your day is going to go. But I'm going to try to meet up with you maybe at one of these churches when you come.
Well, that would be great, and I would like to for you to meet our Haitian pastor from Haiti. His name is Pastor Ovid Supreme, and he's great, and I'd love for you to meet him.
Okay.
And when I'm in Marion in May, I'll be there for, I think, like 4 or 5 days, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
3 to 5 days. I'll have to think through that. We're going to get there Friday, Saturday. We'll go get there early Friday, so we'll be there by noon Friday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have to leave on Monday. He flies back on that Tuesday back to Haiti, and so that'll be the weekend of May 25th. We'll be up there. But, yeah. But anyway, yeah, I'd love for you to meet him, and we'd love to see you. Absolutely. That'd be wonderful.
I'm going to try to make that happen. But we are out of time. Thank you so much for spending this hour, 45 minutes with me, half an hour anyway. It was great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you, appreciate what you do, and I'm very honored. You made my day.
Well, God bless you.
You too. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was Don Woodard. We thank him so much. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your support, your prayers. Remember to reach out to the Lomax family in reference to Kenneth Lomax passing away. I don't know any details yet, so maybe you may even hear before I do. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. From legendary comedian Orson Bean singing the Baloney Song.
Two Irishmen and a Hebrew, one went out for recreation.